All right. Thanks for coming today. Good to be with you and to be gathered to sing songs like that. Just soften my heart and even for myself, having gone through working on the sermon this week, just to prepare me in a fresh way to by the grace of God, share it. 50 years ago, I was baptized here as a new believer in Christ, as a young teenager. And I think it was shortly after that, it might have been that, we had a starlight that we called it for the youth group. It was kind of a formal, and back then when we did it, we had a formal, then we came upstairs here for usually a movie, not a movie that was, you know, about Jesus in nature, you know. And then we would go all night bowling. And then we would go to the seashore the next day. And so by Saturday night, everybody was exhausted and sunburned and everything. But what I remember is this particular movie we saw that night was called A Thief in the Night. I don't know how many of you ever saw it or remember it. The movie is set in a date, a future date where, well, future back in the 70s, where, you know, Jesus raptures his church, you know, that's and calls Christians to go be with him, and they're gone. And the movie was called Thief in the Night because of how we'll see in Scripture, what Scripture says about that coming future event. But in it, the movie was, you got to know these people, for example, this couple, and the rapture occurred, and one went and one didn't. And there was a song that accompanied the movie, and the song was called You've Been Left Behind. It was written by a guy named Larry Norman, who kind of, he came out of the Vietnam protest singing movement, you know, and came to know Jesus. And in there he has a verse where he sings, a man and wife asleep in bed, she hears a noise, she turns her head, he's gone. I wish we'd all been ready. Two men walking up a hill, one disappears and one's left standing still. I wish we'd all been ready. There's no time to change your mind. The sun has come and you've been left behind. Left behind to enter into what Scripture declares will be a time of terrible tribulation on the earth. Now, I remember watching it as a new believer. You know, there was a fear factor to it, and I'll be honest. And in the decades that have followed, I've heard a lot of criticism about the movie. Production criticism, I certainly get that, because Christian movie companies did not have a lot of money in the mid-70s, and the quality, you know, wasn't that good. It's let's say it's cheesy, you know what I mean? But I've also heard criticisms about the fact that the movie, you know, you're trying to scare kids into, you know, believing in Jesus. And I also get some of that, except for the fact that what remains for me from the movie is it's built on a verse of Scripture. It's built on Matthew chapter 24 and verse 40, where we read, then there will be two men in the field, one will be taken and one will be left. Those words are spoken by Jesus. They're not a script writer who puts them in there. They're not a songwriter who puts them in there. It's Jesus. And so when I read these words by Jesus, for me, they're true because Jesus spoke them. And I want to reflect today on these true words of a coming day, because there's still time for everyone to be ready for that day. You know, I thought that was the trumpet sounding, that we were that we were ready. I always thought it'd be a little louder than that, a little more exciting. I didn't know it was going to be like a car horn, but you know, no, but that the fact is that I want to reflect on it because it's true. And I believe there are three things that Jesus says that we can look at and hopefully apply to our lives. First thing is, Jesus said that he is coming again. I want you to know that. Jesus Christ is a real person. Scripture tells us he's the eternal Son of God who came and took on human flesh, God miraculously conceived in Mary. Jesus, 100% God, 100% man. And he walked this earth, and he came here for a purpose. One of the things that he told us was that he will be leaving, and he will come again someday. In Matthew chapter 24, in verse 29, we read Jesus saying, "But immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from the sky, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power, with great glory. And he will send forth his angels with a great trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the sky to the other." Jesus says there is a day coming. In John's Gospel, chapter 14, in the passage where Jesus has his last supper with his disciples before he is arrested and crucified, he says to them, John 14, 1, "Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again." At the end of the New Testament, in the book of Revelation, or, you know, we read at the very last chapter in Revelation chapter 22, three times Jesus makes a statement. Verse 7, "Behold, I am coming quickly." Now, this is after he has gone to be resurrected and gone to be back with his Father. "I'm coming quickly." Verse 12, "Behold, I'm coming quickly." The end of the chapter, verse 20, "I'm coming quickly." Jesus walked this earth 2,000 years ago and said, "I'm coming again." Now, it is no surprise to me that a lot of people are unaware and don't believe it, because he spoke those words 2,000 years ago, and generation after generation after generation has come and gone, right? And Jesus has not returned. I'm not blaming our media. As I've said many times, our media is not rooted in, they're not supposed to be telling us, "Here's what the Bible says." They're telling us, "Here's what happened in Texas, and here's what's going on in California, and here's what's happened in Iran, and here's what's happened in Israel." And they're focused on what they consider to be the main headlines of the day. But I want you to know, the main headline every day for us should be a reminder that today could be the day that Jesus comes again. It's for many, it's almost it's not real. It's like a story. It's like a fantasy. And I've said many times, I thank God that I live in a country where there's freedom of religion. I would never want to be pastoring a church where the people came because the government made them come. You don't want to preach to people who are there because they have to be there, because the government said they have to come to get a government job or something. But remember that freedom of religion is a wonderful gift, to be able to say, "Yeah, I hear what you say, and I have friends. I have good friends who I love, who say, 'Vince, yeah, we think you're crazy that you believe that Jesus died and rose from the dead. It's ridiculous you think he's coming again to this earth.'" I'm glad that they have the freedom to decide on their own, but freedom of religion, by the way, ends when you breathe your last breath. Because when you stand before Almighty God, he doesn't say, "Oh, you believed in freedom of religion? Okay, I'm sorry, I have no say." When you stand before God, his response is going to be, "Did you respond to faith in my Son? Did you receive my gift of salvation?" We're going to see that in a moment. Jesus is coming again, even though it's not in the headlines. In the book of Acts, the angel reminds us of that when Jesus walks after rising from the dead and spending 40 days with his disciples, helping them to understand how all the Old Testament was fulfilled in him as the Messiah. He does what? He goes up to the mountaintop and he ascends into heaven. They watch him leave. And they had a privilege none of us have had. Just know that. I mean, imagine what it would do to your faith if you watched Jesus leave the earth and ascend into heaven. I mean, he went somewhere, right? The reality of visually seeing that, we haven't seen it. By faith, we believe Jesus' promise. We believe Scripture. But as soon as that happened, what happened after that? And as they were gazing intently into the sky while he was going, behold, two men in white clothing stood beside them. And they also said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in just the same way as you watched him go into heaven." He is coming again. When Jesus was on this earth, the Jews knew what God's promises were in the Old Testament, that the Messiah would come, and ultimately the Messiah would bring in the kingdom of God on earth, that a day is coming when God is going to take back his planet. This is God's planet. He created it. He created the human race. The fact that we have wandered from him and fallen into sin, he has created this. It's still his earth. He didn't say, "All right, forget it. You guys can have the planet." No. He said, "I'm going to rule over this again someday. Jesus is coming," right? But when his disciples were following him, they were saying, "Is it happening now? Are you going to set up God's kingdom on earth now?" And Jesus said, "You don't need to know when that's going to happen. What you need to know is I'm here. I'm here now for a reason. I'm here because I'm the Lamb of God that has come to take away the sin of the world. I'm here not to be served, but I'm here to serve and to give my life a ransom as a payment for your sin. That's what you need to know. That's what I want you to go forward and tell the world. There is forgiveness in the name of Jesus." Why? Because Jesus said, "I'm going to go to the cross. I'm going to be the good shepherd who lays his life down for the sheep. I'm going to die on the cross. I'm going to be buried, but I'm going to rise from the dead in victory, and I'm going to ascend to my Father in heaven." And what you need to know is to go forward and tell people about that, and then know this: I'm coming again. And I'm telling you this ahead of time. That's not me saying that. That's Jesus. In Matthew chapter 24, in verse 25, we read, Jesus says, "Behold, I have told you in advance." And he talks about his return. I'm telling you what's coming. How many of you from my generation or older remember the Billy Jack movies from the, I don't know if it was 60s or 70s. Billy Jack was a Green Beret Army guy, martial arts and all, but he was also part Native American Indian, and he was defending the Native American Indians with some, you know, mistreatment. And, you know, he comes face to face with one of the, you know, those, you know, it's easy to character, you know, those Southern sheriffs, "Well, fella, you know, kind of like that, you know, you and the guy saying to him, "You're in trouble now," right? And Billy Jack says, "Well, then I guess I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to take this right foot, and I'm going to hit you on that side of your head with it, and there's nothing you can do about it." "Oh, are you now?" You know, and of course he does it, and "I tried it. I can't get up higher than here," you know. But this isn't Jesus going, "All right, let me tell you what I'm going to do. I'm coming." No, this is Jesus saying, "Here's why I'm telling you ahead of time. I love you. I love you. I want you to be ready. And so I love you. I love the fact that when I was going to have surgery, the doctor didn't say, 'All right, got my knife here we go.' No, he said, 'Hey, we're going to count back from 10. We're going to put this thing in your arm. And into Neverland," right? But because they care about it. God, Jesus says, "I love you. And because I love you, I want you to know I'm coming again. Because I want you to be ready." I believe in the literal interpretation of these prophetic words. I believe that Jesus Christ is coming again, and he's going to set up a millennial a kingdom on this earth. He's going to rule over everyone as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I believe what Scripture says in Revelation, other passages, is going to be a 7-year period of tribulation prior to that that's launched by the rapture. Jesus calls his church, us, believers in Jesus, he catches us up to meet the Lord in the air, in the clouds, right? There are scripture verses that Christians who love the Lord in the same Bible, you know, some of them say, well, that verse has to do with the second coming, and this, oh no, that has to do with the rapture. The main point I want to make today is all of them about the rapture and the second coming speak about what? That it is going to be sudden. And that's the second thing. Jesus said, I'm coming again, but he also said, it's going to be sudden. Matthew 24 and verse 27, for just as the lightning comes from the east and flashes even to the west, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. In verse 36, he says, but of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven nor the Son, but the Father alone. For the coming of the Son of Man will be just like the days of Noah. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. They did not understand until the flood came and took them all away. In other words, Noah's building the ark and they're going, what are you, a kook? It's not going to rain. What are you, nuts? It came suddenly when the rain came, right? Took them all away. They didn't understand. He says, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. There will be two men in the field. One will be taken, one will be left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken, one will be left. Therefore, be on the alert, for you do not know which day your Lord is coming. Again, I could Google right now, predictions. And there'll be NFL predictions. Some people are predicting, you know, the Chiefs will win the Super Bowl. Some people thought, the Lions, it's their year this year. We know the Eagles are going to repeat, but that's because God told me. But we're not really, I don't know. No, my point is, who knows? A football season, somebody gets hurt, whatever, the whole thing changes. But people make predictions. I read predictions this week about who's going to win the presidential election in 2028. And I'm thinking, well, you know what country we live in? You know how quickly things turn and twist and all that happen here, right? You'll read predictions from some in like the environment, climate, you know, area where, well, we've only got, you know, 3 years left in the planet or this or that. And nobody's listening. I don't mean nobody. The one to listen to is Jesus. It may not be on the headlines in the news, but listen to what he's saying. I am coming again, and it will be sudden. Last week I said my mind can't wrap around the fact that river in Texas rose 30 feet in 45 minutes. That's mind-boggling. Now, I've seen some of the time, you know, videos and what, but it's mind-boggling. But even that, there was enough time for some people to find rescue. Jesus says, I'm telling you, because it's going to be sudden, it's going to happen. Listen, when? I have no idea. You may be a teenager here. God's plan for you may be that you're alive and well, looking forward. What would that be to the year, 2300 coming around or whatever, and you may still be here, but what I pray that you will live each day knowing, it could be today, because it's going to be sudden. And there's a third thing Jesus says, which we should care about. Everyone is not going to be ready. The Apostle Paul writes to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Everyone's not going to be ready. What does he say there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5? Now, as to the times, right? You have no need of anything to be written to you, for you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night, which was the name of the movie I told you about in the beginning. While they are saying peace and safety, then destruction will come upon them suddenly with labor pains upon a woman with child, and they will not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness that the day would overtake you like a thief. Listen, I want to be practical here. I'm watching the Eagles game. I don't go, all right, first down. Jesus could come today. All right, Oh, interception. Jesus could come today. I'm not every 5 seconds thinking about Jesus. There is the possibility that often I haven't thought about it all day. My point is, I want to get it on our minds that we certainly be alert to it, because some people are not going to be ready. Jesus shares a parable about these 10 women who they want to come into the wedding party with the bridegroom, and half of them have enough oil for their candles, half don't, in Matthew 25. And when we read, you know, that they fall asleep, and then they're woken up suddenly. The bridegroom has come. And we read that while they were going to wait to make a purchase, the ones who weren't ready, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding feast, and the door was shut. Later, the other ones came saying, "Lord, Lord, open up for us." But he answered, "Truly I say to you, I do not know you. Be on the alert then, for you do not know the day nor the hour." This is not Jesus ever saying to anybody, "No, you want to come in, be part of my kingdom?" No. Jesus says, "Come, whosoever will may come." I don't care who you are. I don't care what you've done. I don't care what guilt you carry. I don't care how bad you think you are. Jesus says, "I came to save sinners, and anybody is welcome to come to my feast of salvation, forgiveness of sins, and eternal life." What Jesus is saying here is, but you only get this life to make that decision. If you wait until you've breathed your last breath and your life is over, your opportunity is you've missed it. Whether it's you passed here or whether the rapture occurs, Jesus says there will be some who will not be ready. You'll have missed it. He wants us to be ready. Why? Because of what we read in 2 Peter chapter 3, because that's his desire, his love for us. 2 Peter 3 verse 9, "The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance." Jesus, my sermon title, the song was, "I wish we had all been ready." My sermon title is, "I wish we will all be ready," because we all have time. How do we get ready for the Lord's return? Well, first and foremost, have you put your faith in Jesus? Are you part of his kingdom? Do you know when that day comes when Jesus calls his followers that you'll be with him? Do you know when Jesus reigns on this earth someday in the future that you will be part with him, with his kingdom, with his family? You can know. John writes in his gospel words that Jesus spoke that I absolutely cherish. For in John chapter 10, Jesus said these words, "I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." That's what Jesus says. I want you to be ready. Whether it's for your last breath or whether it's for when I come suddenly in an instant, I don't want you to miss all the eternal joy I have for you. Come to me and put your faith in me. Jesus crucified on the cross. Why? Because he was the only perfect God-man who could pay for my sin. I can't pay for my sin. I can't pay for your sin. You can't pay for your sin. You can't pay for my sin. Because we got something in common. We're sinners. Jesus paid the price. And he says, "Freely I offer you forgiveness of sin." Well, there's got to be a catch, right? Got to be something I got to do. You come in faith and you say, "Forgive me, Father. Forgive me. I put all my trust in Jesus to save me." Have you done it? I pray you have. I know, you know, I don't know all, you know, some of my illustrations, I guess I'm saying, are a little more, but back in the day, right? But But I remember when my kids, when we all watched Hook together when they were little, the movie Hook, you know, and Peter Pan forgot he was Peter Pan, and he's Peter Panning, and he's you know a businessman, you know, and Captain Hook kidnaps his kids and takes them to Neverland, and he wants to have his war with Peter Pan. Peter Panning doesn't know he's Peter Pan. So when Captain Hook says to him, "Draw your sword," Peter Panning goes, "All right," and he takes out his checkbook. "How much?" Right? And Hook's looking at him like, "What? Your checkbook's no good here. Your checkbook's gonna be no good when you breathe your last breath." I remember Frank Sinatra used to say, "Whoever ends with the most toys wins." But I remember what Pastor Mitchell used to say, "I've never seen a hearse pull in a U-Haul." You don't get, take it with you, right? Come to Jesus. On our stained glass window, Jesus said what? "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." I probably said this before, but I remember, you know, 10 years ago being at the firehouse and sharing that with somebody, and the guy saying to me, the fireman saying to me, "You know, PV, you're really narrow-minded. You know, you're saying only Jesus is our only way of rescue." And I said, I want to correct you. I didn't say it. He said it. I'm only telling you what he said and what I believe, that he has rescued me and given me eternal life. Are you ready? Maybe you've already put your faith in Jesus. How can you apply it? How can you be ready? Well, as a Christian, first, be encouraged. We got so many people in our world living in fear. I read, you know, social media comments, "Oh, I'm terrified for the future. I don't know what's going to happen." Listen, I don't know what's going to happen either. It may be pain, it may be suffering, it may be difficulty. But when you know that Jesus Christ has a plan and it's going to be fulfilled, it should cause you to be excited that, hey, there may be suffering here, but eternity is a lot longer than what I'm getting right now here. And that's why the Apostle Paul said, the sufferings of this world don't compare to the fact that forever I'm going to walk with God. Paul says Jesus is coming and it's going to happen in the twinkling of an eye. It's going to happen in an instant where he's going to, what? The dead in Christ are going to come with him and he's going to call us to the air. So that means my dad is coming with Jesus. Laura, your dad is coming with Jesus. Reggie's coming with Jesus. I can look at all so many of you, your loved ones that are with the Lord. They're coming with Jesus, and we're going to meet them in the air. And listen, there's things in life that can get you discouraged. But what does Paul say? He says, "I tell you all this for a reason. Encourage one another. Live knowing God has a plan, and it's not vulnerable. He will never leave you. He will never lose you. He will never stop loving you. You're safe forever." Be encouraged. Secondly, value eternal things over temporary things. We're reminded by Peter in 2 Peter chapter 3, what? He says, "Remember, since all these things," what things? Everything we got here, "are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking and hastening the coming of the day of God?" You know, to be thankful for blessings, I am. I want you to know, I am thankful for my house. I am thankful for air conditioning in my house. When it rains and I hear that torrential rain, I'm thankful for a roof, right? I'm thankful for blessings. And thank God, enjoy the blessings he's given you. But don't let temporary things be more valuable to you than what's eternal, right? Let it continue to make a difference, to rumble in you, to keep bringing waves to your shore. Paul says to the Colossians, "Set your affections on things above. Value eternal things. Value eternal life more than whatever it is you get in your 90 plus years here, if you get 90 plus. I'm not counting on it for me personally. What does Jesus say? What does it profit a man if he gain the whole world but lose his own soul? Because his soul is eternal. The rest of it's whatever amount of years you get, right? What did Jesus say in Matthew chapter 6? In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says, getting our focus right? Matthew chapter 6, in verse 19, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I don't think Jesus is saying, Vince, don't put any money in a savings account. I don't think he's saying that. I don't think he's saying, don't prepare, don't save it, don't have anything, you know, don't own anything that can be destroyed. The rest of Scripture lets us know we're to be good stewards with what God gives us. What he's saying is, make sure your life with me is more valuable than your life with things. Make sure what is at the heart of your joy and peace is something that is not vulnerable. It's your relationship with me. Last thing here, I got to move on, right? Skip over a couple things. Live as a child of heaven. Live as a child of heaven. Remember that, what Peter says in 1 Peter 1, if you address as Father the one who impartially judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves in fear during the time of your stay on earth. In other words, remember that you're a child of heaven. Jesus could come at any moment. Live in such a way that is mindful of that. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, when Paul is sharing that passage about, you know, how it is going to be sudden and some won't be ready. What's he say in verse 6? So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us be alert and sober. In other words, if somebody doesn't know that Jesus is coming again, they're not going to live a certain way. They're you know, I got today. Today's all I got, you know. But if you know that he's coming again, and it could be any day, there's a call on your life to live as a child of heaven, to live kindly, to live with patience, to live with love, to live with selflessness, right? To live in a generous way, to live in a serving way, in a peaceful way, in a content way. In Matthew 25, Jesus gives a parable about the talents and this man's leaving, and he gives his possessions to different ones, and then he comes back later and says, what did you do with them? And to the ones who invested them in and produced a fruitful life, he says, well done, enter into the joy of your Lord. And Jesus is using it about the kingdom. I've given you things, I've given you talents, I've given you gifts, I've given you resources, I've given you abilities. Live them out as a child of God so that the day comes and you'll breathe your last, or you'll be caught up into the heavens and you'll hear me say, hey, Vince, well done, welcome home, right? Enjoy the gifts God's given you, but make sure in you're prioritizing the eternal, because that's what's going to be there when you're done. You know, I think about that often when you think about the terrible experience we had with slavery in our country. Think about yourself being born and as a child realizing for the rest of your life you're going to be owned by somebody else. They're going to treat you as a possession. You don't get to choose who you're going to marry. You're not going to get picked. Here's what I want to be when I grow up. Oh, someday when I get a house. Now, there may be no anxiety because you got nothing to be worried about. But what would your focus be? Life after this life. And that's why we come away with some of those meaningful songs birthed in such adversity that may be campfire songs to us, but to me, Michael rowed the boat ashore. Hallelujah. The Jordan River is deep and wide, but I've got a home on the other side. Hallelujah. When you think about folks who in the world today, your brothers and sisters in Christ who live in the Sudan, who we've just reading about recently, the Muslim rebels came in and attacked their village and they took whatever they have and now they live on the mountain, the Nuba Mountains, and they built sticks together to make a hut. And that's all they got. For them, I'll tell you what, they know Jesus is coming again. They got a home on the other side, right? Yesterday, I spent my last time in the house, Dan. I went in Mom and Dad's house. All the furniture's gone. By looking at the wall and you're seeing nails, but I could see the picture that used to hang there. The family picture here, this picture there, that picture there. But my mom and dad's house, the title is going to change this week because someone else is now buying it, right? They're gonna live there. It will no longer be their earthly home, right? But that's okay because my dad was ready. And that's okay because we've got an eternal home. Jesus is coming again. Are you ready? Are you ready? Let's bow our heads before the Lord. My friend, if you've never put your faith in Jesus, then I want to tell you what Jesus said. You're not ready. Jesus says to you right now where you sit, come to me. Confess that you are not worthy of heaven. Confess your sin. And believe me that I had the ability to die for your sin, and I did. Put all your faith in me, Jesus says. Put your trust in me. Enter through the door. I will forgive every one of your sins, and I'll give you eternal life. Won't you do that? Won't you put, right where you sit, just between you and God, God, I am putting my faith in Jesus. Trust him. Christian friend, thank God for your blessings. Invest, enjoy, but remember, encourage one another that Jesus is coming. Prioritize the eternal over the temporary because Jesus is coming. Live as a child of heaven because Jesus is coming. Father, we thank you for this passage of Scripture and for how it challenges us. Let it encourage us. Let it make us at peace that this world is not in a free fall. You have a plan. And now may the blessing of God the Father and the blessing of God the Son and the blessing of God the Holy Spirit rest and abide on each and every one of us now and until Jesus Christ comes again. And then forever we pray. Amen.